Okay, so let me paint you a picture. You've just been put in charge of this critical infrastructure project, but the main system architect, she left the company 2 years ago. So did her
Oh,
replacements.
boy.
And you desperately need to understand, the configuration, the logic, why things were built this way. You search the shared drive, and all you find is this one cryptic sticky note and a huge folder called Archive Do Not Touch.
Right, the classic digital graveyard.
So how do you even begin to bridge that knowledge gap before the whole thing just breaks?
That gap you're talking about, that's the sound of time and money just draining away.
Yeah.
I mean, documentation is so often seen as this like bureaucratic chore you do at the end, but it's really the only insurance policy you have against that knowledge just decaying over time.
So when a system gets built, the documentation is how the company remembers how it works 6 months or, 6 years later.
I get you there.
And the data you shared on this is just, it's kind of shocking. Only 4% of companies report always documenting their processes.
So low, 4%. That means 96% of companies are just operating in this state of constant vulnerability.
It seems like such an obvious failure point. Why is it so hard?
Well, I don't think it's just laziness. I mean, it's often seen as something you do after the project is finished.
Right.
But then you're in a rush to launch, and that after just, it never arrives.
So for this deep dive, our mission is really to analyze the undeniable power of good documentation.
It is. And we're going to cover everything from managing these super complex software projects to, protecting your own career with objective records.
We'll even get into the weeds on code comments and how AI is, well, both helping and complicating this whole process.
It sure is.
Okay, let's start with the cost. What's the real toll financially and I guess emotionally of all this missing information?
The toll is immense. I mean, the clock is always running. There's this staggering number that the average knowledge worker spends about 2.5 hours per day just searching for information.
2.5 hours per day.
Per day. That's basically one full day every week just spent playing digital detective.
Wow. And that's not just wasted salary. That has to be a failure of
Oh,
morale.
absolutely. It leads directly to burnout, to frustration,
Yeah.
people constantly interrupting each other just to find a file path or a password.
Right.
And that really brings us to the core functions of what good documentation is even supposed to do.
Okay.
So the first pillar is the historical record. This is all about understanding why decisions were made.
Not just what, but why.
Exactly. Why is that old legacy system configured with that really strange workaround? Without the docs, you don't just risk breaking it. You risk spending a week of engineering time resolving a problem that was already solved 3 years ago.
Right, because the context was just lost. The person who knew left and took it with them.
Precisely. So the second pillar is creating a single source of truth, an SOT.
An SOT, I like that.
Yeah, it's vital because it centralizes all that must-know information. Without it, a new employee asks a question, and three different people give three slightly different answers.
And the system just loses integrity over time.
It does. An SOT speeds up decision-making, and it cuts down on all those interruptions that just kill productivity.
Okay, so historical record, single source of truth.
Yeah.
What's the third function?
The third is quality and consistency.
Okay.
So documentation, especially things like checklists, is absolutely essential for tasks that don't happen very often, maybe quarterly or even just annually.
Like quarterly financial reports or renewing a domain name, things you forget how to do.
Exactly. A clear, documented checklist ensures the task is done the exact same way every single time, so you maintain a high standard.
Those are huge benefits for the company. But let's bring it back to the individual. How does documentation become like your personal armor at work? You mentioned keeping the receipts.
Keeping the receipts is probably the most important non-technical documentation you can do.
For self-advocacy.
For self-advocacy, when you're asking for a raise, a promotion, or, if you're unfortunately put on a personal improvement plan, you need objective, factual evidence, not just, I worked really hard.
So if I'm doing this, what makes a receipt useful versus just noise?
Specifics, measurable metrics. That's everything. You need concrete evidence of your impact. So, not I helped the customer support team,
Right.
but I implemented the new ticketing procedure, which cut the average ticket closing time by 18%. Or I saved the company $50,000 by migrating our servers. Numbers are objective, they're hard to argue with.
And what about storage? I mean, my work computer is corporate property. Where do I keep all this?
You absolutely need a system that's private, secure, and off the work network. Your personal cloud storage is perfect.
Okay,
And here's the really big tactical tip. You have to prioritize time-stamped formats.
Time-stamped, what do you mean?
Things like emails, chat logs, even voicemails. Anything with metadata, names, dates, times. That's gold in a review because it's a factual anchor. If you just type up some nice feedback in a Word doc, you lose all that. It's just your word.
That is a powerful distinction. Okay, let's shift back to the team. Let's talk about process manuals for the whole organization. You mentioned only 12% of employees feel their company does a good job with onboarding.
And a good manual is the fix for that. It absolutely is.
So how do you write one that people will actually use?
Usability is everything. So first rule, keep it short. A procedure shouldn't be more than, say, 11 or 12 pages max. If it is, you need to break it up.
Okay, break it into smaller, focused docs.
Exactly, and use simple formatting. Short paragraphs, bullet points, numbered lists. Make it scannable.
Now, you had a really crucial rule about longevity. You said to use job titles, never people's names. But for a small team, doesn't that feel a little overly corporate?
That's a fair point. It can feel stiff. But the trade-off is organizational stability. A document you write today might be used by a new hire 5 years from now.
Right.
If it says, send this to Jane in marketing, that document is useless the day Jane leaves. But if it says, send this to the marketing manager, it stays relevant forever. It prioritizes the role over the person.
And you have to treat them as living documents. They're never really finished.
Correct. The second you call a document finished, it starts to rot. They have to be reviewed, revised, ideally annually, or whenever the system itself changes.
And please, keep the source file editable.
Yes. Don't just save your master docs as a PDF and call it a day.
All right, let's go a layer deeper. Technical documentation. This is the stuff for system admins, developers, product managers. This is where it gets really complex.
It is. Technical documentation is this huge specialized world. It can be anything from internal architecture diagrams and API specs all the way to external customer-facing stuff like user manuals or knowledge bases.
And on that external side, those customer-facing docs are literally saving the company money.
Oh, for sure. They prevent calls to the support desk. When the documentation is clear, customers actually prefer to help themselves.
I believe that.
We know that 51% of customers actively look for an FAQ section before they even think about contacting support. It's a win-win. They avoid waiting on hold, and you avoid the operational cost.
So for a team that's just starting out, what's the creation cycle look like? You mentioned 8 steps, but what are like the 2 hardest parts where this usually fails?
That's a good way to look at it because, yeah, the process often fails right at the beginning. The first big challenge is defining the target audience.
You can't write for everyone.
You can't. An intern needs a totally different document with more context, with acronyms defined, than a senior network engineer needs for the exact same system. If you try to write one for both, you fail both.
Okay, so different layers of documentation for different users. What's the second big hurdle?
Capturing the knowledge from the subject matter experts. The SMEs.
The people who actually built the thing.
Right. And they're usually the bottleneck. They're already busy building the next thing. They don't have time to document the last thing.
So you have to pull the knowledge out of their heads.
You do. It takes dedicated time, structured interviews. If the SME just dumps a pile of notes on a technical writer, the final doc is going to be incomplete. It's going to lack flow.
Okay, that makes sense. So once you have that raw material, then you organize it, you write it clearly, you get it reviewed.
Yes, and that review phase needs 2 types of review. The SME checks for accuracy, is this technically correct? And then a peer, an outsider, checks for usability.
Yeah.
Can I actually follow these steps?
And then you manage it all with analytics, like failed search queries.
Exactly. If everyone is searching for password reset and getting no results, you know exactly what you need to write next.
And we have to talk about accessibility. I mean, this isn't a niche requirement anymore. It's just good design.
It's absolutely just good design.
Yeah.
Accessible docs benefit everyone. Clear headings and tags help a screen reader, sure, but they also help a sighted user who's just skimming quickly.
And visuals.
Visuals are great. Screenshots are illustrative, but they have to be described with alt text. And you never, ever rely on color alone to convey meaning.
It's like the subtitle principle, right? Subtitles were made for the hearing impaired, but now everybody uses them.
Precisely. Making it accessible by default just makes it universally better for everyone.
Okay. Let's dive deep now into the world of software development, the heart of code documentation. The first file anyone sees is the README. It's the gatekeeper.
The README is the project's handshake. It's usually a text file written in Markdown sitting right in the top-level directory. And I have to answer the question, Why should I care about this project, and how do I get it running?
So who's the audience for that read, Em?
You have to assume the reader knows absolutely nothing about your project's internal logic.
Okay.
So it must include a clear description, explicit step-by-step installation instructions, some usage examples that show the expected output, and critically, how other people can contribute code back to the project. If a dev can't get your system running from the readM, you've failed right at the start.
And this brings us to the famous code comment controversy.
The flame wars.
Yes. There are some really conflicting philosophies here. It's a huge point of debate for developers.
It is a friction point, for sure, because it's a trade-off. You've got one camp that says the code itself should be the documentation. It should be written so cleanly that comments are just unnecessary noise.
And the other camp?
The other camp argues that, you know, for complex systems, especially with weird libraries or special algorithms, you need explicit comments to explain the intent.
Okay, so what's the realistic middle ground here? What's the golden rule?
The golden rule is usually cited as, don't document bad code, rewrite it.
I like that.
If your code is confusing, a comment doesn't fix it. It's just a bandage. The goal of a comment is to explain why you did something complex or non-obvious, not to repeat what the code is doing.
So avoid the classic I++, increment I by one.
Please, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid that at all costs.
But you know, in the real world, with deadlines, sometimes rewriting some complex spaghetti legacy code just isn't an option. What do you do then?
In those situations, a comment is critical. Absolutely. A comment explaining a necessary hack or a dangerous optimization is essential for the next person.
So it's about context.
It is. But if you have the time, focus on documentation through nomenclature. Good naming.
How so?
Descriptive, concise, pronounceable names for your variables, your classes, your functions. That is documentation in itself. Variables should be nouns. Methods should be verbs. If your naming is clear, you need way fewer comments.
And what's the final big warning about code comments?
Outdated comments are actively dangerous. They're worse than no comment.
Because they lie to you.
They lie. A developer changes some logic, but forgets to update the comment above it. The next person reads that comment, trusts it, and gets completely misled. At that point, no comment would have been so much better.
That's a fantastic point. Okay, zooming back out. Once a company actually starts writing all this stuff, the next challenge is managing it all, right? Keeping it current. How do you maintain the beast?
Maintenance is all about strategic habits. First, consolidation. Use one dedicated tool, a wiki, a version control system, whatever, but just one.
Don't scatter it across Notion and Confluence and Google Docs.
Please don't, because then no one knows where the real single source of truth lives anymore.
And what about old docs? Stuff that's obsolete. You can't just keep it all forever.
That's the second strategy, separation and archiving. You clearly separate your live operational documents, like your architecture diagrams, from your historical logs, like old meeting minutes.
And when a live doc gets outdated, you archive it, not delete it.
Exactly. That preserves the historical record, but it removes the misleading version from active search.
I really like the idea you mentioned of pushing documentation closer to the code itself.
Code proximity, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is huge for developers. Your technical docs, especially markdown files, should live in the same Git repository as the source code.
Because it forces the documentation into the code review process.
It does. If the code changes, the docs have to be reviewed and updated before that pull request can be merged. It cements that living document principle into the workflow.
What's the single most effective cultural habit for making this all work?
Always answer with a link.
Ooh, I like that.
When a coworker asks a process question, how do I request a budget increase? Don't type out the answer. Just send the link to the policy. And if that link is broken or the policy doesn't exist,
you write the first draft right then and there.
You write it immediately. It turns every question into a documentation improvement opportunity.
And to make this easier, what are the essential tools companies should be using?
Beyond the wikis, the real foundation is version control, like GitHub. It's not just for code. It tracks every change to a document, who made it, when they made it. You can always roll back if something breaks.
And issue trackers.
Issue trackers like Jira or Linear are also key because they record the reasoning behind every change. They provide that historical context we talked about right at the start.
Okay, finally, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, generative AI.
Mm-hmm.
It could massively speed up documentation, but it also comes with huge risks.
Yeah.
What are the real benefits we're seeing?
The speed increase is just phenomenal. We're seeing reports of documentation output going up by as much as 90%.
90%.
90. AI is great at taking a ton of technical data like API specs and generating a really solid, structured first draft. It keeps the tone and formatting consistent.
So it's a great starting point.
Amazing starting point. And it can help validate your existing docs by checking them against the current code.
But the warnings, we have to take them seriously. This isn't a replacement for a human thinking.
Not at all. The first warning is the hallucination problem. An AI might just confidently invent a seventh non-existing component of your system. You have to verify every single thing it outputs.
And then there's the classic data quality problem.
That's the other big one. Junk in, junk out. If you feed an AI your conflicting, outdated, poorly written docs, it will synthesize that junk into a highly confident, dangerously incorrect new document.
So it could actually make things
It
worse.
could make it worse by making the wrong information sound incredibly plausible. The initial quality of your human-written docs still matters more than ever.
This has been such a necessary, really deep dive. We've covered the whole life cycle, from protecting your own career with receipts, to the big organizational challenges, to the nuances of code comments.
And, when you boil it all down, it all comes back to just simple communication.
Right.
Documentation, whether it's for a computer or a colleague, is just about communicating your logic clearly and consistently. That commitment to clear naming and structure in code, it's the exact same skill you need to communicate any complex idea.
So a final thought for everyone listening.
Yeah, think about your own life, your complex non-work systems. Maybe it's your personal finances, a home automation setup, a really demanding hobby. Where could adopting a structured professional README file or personal timestamp change log improve your own future self's understanding? What system in your life desperately needs a definitive single source of truth?